Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting the weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Poplar Springs or Poplar Creek.
Oh, this just take your choice.
I guess the springs feed into the creek.
I'll tell you what's popular. Strange Brew Coffeehouse.
Very good.
Which, at this very second,
yes,
just tweeted that there's a second Waffle House coming to Starkville.
My God.
What?
Where?
I don't know. This has me intrigued.
Breaking news. Breaking news here on Thunder and Lightning.
You're gonna have to get in touch with Shane here and figure this out.
Where? Oh my gosh! Yeah, and I need to find out more. I'm gonna reach out right now. Right now, we're on the show here. We may be able to break more news here on the show as we go. But until then, remember.
I imagine it'd probably be like somewhere on the other side of Highway 12.
Well, you know, the old Waffle House was right there on 82.
Yes.
Where Gene Cafe is now.
That's correct.
Is that still open?
That's correct. I don't know.
I couldn't tell you the last time I ate at Gene Cafe.
Yeah, the Waffle House that was over there by the Highlands.
Yeah.
I've frequented that.
I've been to that Waffle House, yeah.
I remember you used to be able to smoke cigarettes in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
doesn't exist, not anymore.
That's just, you can't even fathom that now.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. Okay. Strange Brew Coffee House, great coffee. Great with waffles.
Would probably go really well
next to the Hilton Garden Inn.
Oh.
That's what I have. That news has just been broken here on Thunder and Lightning. Yeah, that's good times. You know the problem with that is, though, that's where the team stays for football.
Oh,
they're going to be sneaking out and getting waffles at 2 in the morning.
Now, when I'm leaving campus, like after a late game, could easily just slip
over there. You know what's going to happen? You could go, if you go by there, you know, like I said, the team stays there, right? You go by there on a Friday night about 1 in the morning, your odds of running into Lebby and Cody Kennedy are about 48%.
Cody Kennedy probably has like a triple stack of waffles.
Yeah.
Just absolutely.
Well, he probably
housing.
Does the Waffle House sandwich thing. You know what I'm talking about? That you've seen on TikTok where they take the waffle and put like the Philly cheesesteak in there and all
Could
that.
Could easily see that.
Yes.
I would enjoy going to eat Waffle House with Cody Kennedy.
It would be a true pleasure. I agree. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. What that means is this. If you need to get customers in the door at your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a solution for you. 30 years of experience, MSU owned and operated, Bulldog Initiative business, and they'll make your business a Bulldog Initiative business. If you do business with them, if you give them a call today and say, hey, I heard about you on Thunder and Lightning, 10% of whatever you sell with them goes straight to the Bulldog Initiative. If you're a Bulldog fan and you are a business owner that already spends money on printing, this is a no-brainer. You need to take advantage of it. 601-499-5216. That's Camden Baker's number. He'll get you taken care of. If you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and they've got a great selection of it with the logos that you want. The interlocking, the M over S, and of course, the state script. It's a new era here at Mississippi State for athletics. They are changing the brand of Mississippi State. You need to be a part of that by changing your wardrobe. If you've got a bunch of Banner M polos, get them out. Let's get some new stuff in there as soon as possible. College Corner, two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. It's the place to go for the best meal in town. For lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. I'm always talking about lunch. I'm a lunch guy. I like to go out for lunch. Now, I'm more of a cooked dinner guy, but I like to go out for lunch. which means if I'm going to get a blue plate, I'm going to Restaurant Tyler. A great selection of meats and veggies, fantastic cornbread. And if you're not a blue plate kind of guy like I am, they got plenty of sandwich options and other options, entree options for you that you can check out. For the best meal in town, you need to head to Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to learn more about their locations and to learn more about the financial services that they offer and find out how you can get the services that a big corporate bank might offer you, but you can avoid all of the runaround that they are famous for. You don't want to be on hold with somebody who doesn't actually know you when you're talking about your finances. This is your money. Don't you want to talk to people who you know, deal with the people in your community? That's what makes sense to me. Give Priority One Bank a look. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Mississippi State and Ole Miss tonight, Oxford University, big series for both of these teams. Are you there Friday? You're here tonight?
Yep, Friday okay. And Sunday.
All right, you won't be there Saturday. I will be here all 3 days in Oxford. I say here like we're not in Starkville right this second, but you know what I'm getting at. I feel like these are true statements. I feel like I'm not saying these are things that are true. I just want to make that clear. But State's the better team. State has more to play for. State has whatever mental edge that you can have in this game. State has that. It feels like all the cards are stacked in State's favor, which explains why I'm incredibly nervous, right? That it's going
to almost never is that easy.
It feels like. Again, I think I made this comment yesterday that if State had all these advantages and was playing literally anybody else in the conference, I would be like, well, they're going to win the series. But because it's Ole Miss and because you do have the emotional aspect of it, I get that. But I will be honest, I'm going to predict State to win this series and make it 8 in a row over the Rebels and put themselves into position to continue to stay in these postseason projection brackets. I like State's chances. In this one, I think it's probably a Friday Saturday win, and that the Sunday game can go either way. Maybe the Rebels can get that one, but I really like State's chances in this game and in this series. To you, I guess we're kind of doing like a preview playmaker prediction, but we'll get ahead of ourselves. Is there an X factor? We know the players to watch for State, but is there somebody who could come out of nowhere this weekend, or maybe not out of nowhere, but could come off the radar a little bit and have a weekend and make some plays that put Mississippi State in a better position?
It might be, just the whole pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
If the pitching staff comes in and limits damage, doesn't allow big innings, which is pretty much what they've done against Ole Miss over the last few years, it seems like. They might give up some solo home runs. If you remember 2 years ago when they went over there, they gave up a ton of solo home runs,
yeah.
But Ole Miss could never string together three-run home runs, grand slams, big innings. It was
right.
All just home runs,
yeah.
Just solos. And I think that's kind of where they are now. This doesn't seem like an offense that really strings together big hits. And that's kind of been one of their issues is they get some people on base, but they can't score them. And we've talked before about Mississippi State finding ways to lose games. And that's what they've done the last 2 years. Well, this year they've kind of found some ways to win games that usually they would lose. They've also lost some games that they could have won, but I think they've done a better job of that. Ole Miss has not done a better job of that. They've actually gotten worse at that, at finding ways to lose. So if State can come in and pitch it well and limit damage and hold them to a solo home run here and there, I think that's big. Don't walk guys because the games they've lost in SEC play have come from putting guys on base, hitting a batter, not getting the 9-hole out. That seems to hurt Mississippi State all the time.
Mm-hmm.
To me, if you just come into this ball game and you pitch it fairly well, you have a good mindset, I think they're going to win this series, and they
yeah.
have a possibility of sweeping it, just mm-hmm. because of where Ole Miss is mentally. I mean, Ole Miss is just kind of been a little weak-minded in a lot of ways this year.
The mental edge is big, and we've talked about this team. They've shown mental toughness quite a bit this year. Down at Florida, the way they lost that Friday game, I think we all were like, they're in real trouble. They came back, they won the Saturday game, and they had the Sunday game won. They just let it get away from them. You have everything that goes down last Saturday, could have very easily turned into a pity party on Sunday. Instead, they came from behind a couple of times. They made the plays they had to make to win. So I think this team definitely has mental toughness. And you mentioned Ole Miss. I thought last weekend the Rebels played better up in Arkansas, which is kind of surprising. You know, you'd think going up to Arkansas, they would have been in real trouble. That's a place where in years past, for whatever reason, Ole Miss has played well. You remember
A team that they played well against.
Yeah. 2 years ago, after they lose to Mississippi State, they went up to Arkansas, and I think they at least won one game and played really well up there against an Arkansas team that was ended up playing in the College World Series against Ole Miss. And, of course, they went on to win the national title.
That has been...
It's a weird series.
That's been a really close series. It's actually been a way more competitive series than State and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
The Ole Miss has actually been in those ball games, even against really, really good Arkansas teams. I remember in 2021, I guess it was, when they had Kevin Copps.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss was, they had a chance to win that series.
Yeah.
And Copps came in and just kind of shut it down
right,
on Sunday.
Whereas with State that year, they got dominated in three games.
Yeah. So, I look at this Ole Miss team and, last year and the year before that and year before that, you got Jacob Gonzalez that really, really scares you in that lineup. Mm-hmm. And, they had Tim Elko a couple years ago in this lineup.
Kemp Alderman. They don't have a guy
that. There's not a lot of those guys. Now, don't get me wrong. They have good hitters in this lineup and guys that can really hurt you. I think
but they don't have that big
They don't bat. Have it, – it's not a lineup, especially in the meat of it, where you're like, man, you just got to survive this right here.
And you think about the way State pitched against Jack Caglione, who had the one big hit. There's no question about that.
But well, you had three straight series against
big hitters.
Yeah,
Montgomery had a good series for A&M, but LaViolette did not. LaViolette. I can never pronounce
there
it.
There you go.
Did not. Caglione had the one big moment. By and large, wasn't huge. And then State really shut down Condon. He did have the big home run on Saturday, but other than that, played pretty well. And like you mentioned, this Ole Miss lineup, while it's a quality lineup, they don't have a guy like that in this lineup. You know, Ethan Leger is a good hitter. He's hitting .351 on the year. Groff is over .300. That's the only two guys hitting over .300 for this team. Luke Hill has been. I mean, he's aside from the off-the-field stuff that goes on with him, evidently, he's been quite a little bit of a disappointment. Another problem with Ole Miss is at the catcher position, which is really weird to say with Mike Bianco as the head coach, right? Ole Miss has always had a quality guy behind the plate while he's there. He's a former catcher, but they have struggled there, and they've struggled in the field this year. They've had their errors are kind of like Matt Corral's interceptions. They all come at once.
Yeah.
They'll go through a stretch where they have no errors, three, four, five games, and then they'll have a game with like four errors.
Mm-hmm.
And so State can take advantage of that and then put the pressure on. And again, we talked about that mental edge. It's possible that you could see this team fold up a little bit. They folded up a bit against Kentucky. If you go back and rewatch those games, especially the Sunday game. Ole Miss was just trying to get off the field. They didn't want to be out there anymore. They knew it was over. Like I said, they bounced back nicely last week. They do get to play at home. It should be good crowds, but I get the feeling if State can come out and get something going early against Ole Miss, that they could take advantage of that and gain control of the series pretty quickly.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the key for MSU. We've talked about all these things that Ole Miss struggles with. State's not a perfect team. State's not going into that and you're sitting there going like this is going to be total domination. That there are some issues with the State team too, and if MSU does the things that have beaten them in games the last few weeks, then they're going to be in trouble in this game, in this series. So State's got to play good baseball and come out, play good baseball, pitch it well, don't walk batters, don't hit batters, and come through with some good hits. You can win every single one of these games, but you could also lose all three games. You don't know. Baseball's such a weird game. But I know one thing, they definitely need it. They need a series win badly, and they really need a sweep.
Yeah.
But, I would never come out and predict Mississippi State sweeping Ole Miss, but that would be tremendous for them. We'll see what happens, but I think the goal is going in there and trying to find a way to win two games this weekend.
Yeah, it would be something. I predicting a sweep is something. I don't like to do that under hardly under any circumstances.
Yeah.
Because you just never know. I mean, look, check out Missouri and Florida last week. You just don't ever know what's going to happen. I mean, when you look at State's road series that remain, this is really their only shot at getting a series win. I don't think they're going to take a series at Vanderbilt. I don't think they're going to take a series at Fayetteville for sure. But they have a chance to win four more series. There are seven series remaining. Is that correct? Or I'm sorry, six.
Six.
Six series remaining.
Yep.
They have a legitimate chance to win here, win next week against Auburn, win against Alabama at home, and win against Missouri at home.
And at that point, that you would just don't get swept against Arkansas and Vanderbilt.
If you don't get swept, you're sitting on 17 wins.
Yep.
That would be an incredible turnaround. It wouldn't be enough to host, but it would be an incredible turnaround for Mississippi State. One thing that, you know, through the years we've seen is, especially in Oxford, you know, Mangum obviously had his huge games up there. Tanner Allen had good games up there. A couple years ago, Brad Cumbus had the big hit, the big walk-off. Not a walk-off, but the home run in extra innings that gave State the lead. You know, Dakota Jordan, this is his first trip to Oxford. Hines had a good series a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. He had, I think, a couple of home runs in that series. Those two guys, when they're going, it's tough to beat Mississippi State. And I feel like this is a weekend in-state rivalry. They know the stakes. You know, Jordan, of course, had the huge hit last year in the Saturday game against Ole Miss. They've delivered some moments against the Rebels before. Do you think that maybe this weekend you could see big weekends out of not just one, but both of them?
Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit, myself and Chase Parham, yesterday about what's been the key for Mississippi State in this series and how have they been successful. And I think you look at the people that have been at the forefront of them getting big wins. I mean, outside of the Tanner Allen hit in 2021, a lot of Mississippi kids have been coming through for them in these games. And Jake Mangum, Luke Alexander, you mentioned Brad Cumbus. I think this could be a weekend where guys like Bryce Chance, Hunter Hines, Dakota Jordan, those kind of guys elevate their game a little bit and do a really good job this weekend. We'll see if that's what happens, but it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me to see a David Mershon kind of rise to the occasion. He's been struggling a little bit in SEC play, but it wouldn't be a surprise if he came through and got, you know, a few big hits or some big moments.
Mershon seems like a guy the Ole Miss crowd would love to hate, too, so that'll be interesting.
Would be a perfect fit for them at, like, shortstop, too, like the blonde
with his hair. Yeah. It makes you wonder how he ended up at State.
Exactly.
So, huge series for Mississippi State. We'll have coverage of it all weekend at supertalk.fm, and of course on that On3 website I've told y'all so much about. There will be coverage there as well for Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Big series. Also, I think, you know, not unimportant, Robbie, that if State does sweep this series, I will win my bet with Richard for the second straight year.
If they have to sweep. All you have to do is win one game.
No. They have to sweep.
State has to sweep.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that. State has to win three of the next four. So if they can take two here and then win the Governor's Cup, I get that one as well.
Okay.
But I have to get three of the four. And he has to get three of the four. We're tied.
Interesting.
So, and then if we tie, I don't know what the tiebreaker is going to be yet.
I
vote for combat.
Just hand-to-hand.
Hand-to-hand combat, yep. And loser has to, you know, wear the colors.
Well, that's easy money.
He's going to wear some color if I have to get my hands on him. I'll just put it that way.
His face is a crimson mask.
You like that red, don't you, Richard? Huh? Yeah.
Do you have a belt that you can, like, put his name on?
Mama Cross on the back of it. Look at you now. Look at you now, huh? Look at your boy. It didn't have to be this way, Richard.
Oh boy.
Man, we'll see. We'll see.
Get all that blood on that vest.
Yeah.
Genteel polo.
Oh, can I get a genteel vest? That's what I need. the final boss. All right. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. The weather this weekend, it's been bad during the week, but during the weekend, it's going to be fantastic. I can't encourage you enough to get out there and cook out and tell you that nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I've got some. I'm cooking steak tonight. Actually, now that I think about it, as you listen, I got some skirt steaks from the grocery store. That's a good cut, inexpensive. I mean, it's about 3.5-4 pounds of meat for about $30. That's pretty good for a good cut of meat like skirt steak. I like skirt steak. If you eat fajitas, you've eaten skirt steak.
Yes.
So it's good stuff. Nobody told me about it either. I want to point that out. Much like with tri-tip, I knew all about it.
You came up with it yourself.
Well, I didn't come up with it, but I had full awareness of it. I didn't need any experts in the beef industry to tell me about it. So. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. I just like to picture him sitting at a desk going, "Gorn!"
Just cannot defend himself.
He can't do anything. Yeah, he's going to tweet at me one day. He's like, "Let me tell you something." Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Let me tell you something about Two Brothers. We just ate there. It was fantastic.
We did.
Pork rind nachos! Prime rib sandwich. What did Steph get?
He got pulled pork grilled cheese.
That's a sandwich we don't talk enough about. It's outstanding, though. Really good sandwich over there. The pulled pork grilled cheese. I'm a big fan of that one as well. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, you need to make sure the trip to Two Brothers Smoked Meats is right there on your agenda. Oh, by the way, I do have one complaint. It's not a complaint. It's just a customer comment. If you're listening, Terry Barton, Coke Zero.
Yeah, he needs Coke Zero.
Can we get some Coke Zero? Nobody wants Diet Coke.
Just for Brian.
Yeah, if you just put it in the can. I'll come get it. Don't worry. I'll come up there. Great products, great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 49 years. They take care of their customers after the sale. Simple as that. When you buy a copier, a printer, a computer from Advantage Business Systems, you know that if you need service, it's just a phone call away, and it's going to be quick and easy. Not going to be on hold for hours, not going to have to make an appointment that might take a week or so to get to you. It's going to be a lot of times the same day because they're just in Mississippi like you. They treat you like a neighbor because that's what you are. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend for softball, if you're going to be there next weekend for Super Bulldog weekend, or anytime you're in Starkville, you need to make sure you're going to run by Maroon & Co. and check out all the cool gear that they've got. Again, the logos that you want, the interlocking, the state script, the M over S, it's all right there. Cool shirts that you cannot get anywhere else. Bulldog Initiative logo wear that you cannot get anywhere else. Custom cowbells from the Bell Smith. And a lot more than just clothes, right? Stuff for your tailgate, for your home, for your car, for the kids, everything. It's right there at Maroon & Co. Before you go to the ball game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. One more SEC preview to finish up this week, and it's the Tennessee Volunteers. Another team that has high expectations going. I mean, right now, Robbie, how many teams would you say have college football playoff expectations this year in the SEC? It's at least five, right?
Five or six.
So it's Georgia, Texas for sure.
Yep.
Ole Miss, Missouri, Tennessee. I would tell you that Oklahoma fans probably have those expectations. I don't know if they're realistic or not, but they have them. Anybody else that would just be like, "Yeah, I think this team can go to the playoff." I don't think so. You know, maybe some delusion.
I think everybody else
at that point, you're just kind of delusional. Right?
You're just
an Auburn fan.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Ben McKee, Go Vols 24/7. I want to get his thoughts on the Tennessee Volunteers, and then I want to get Robbie's thoughts on something when we come back. We're on Rocky Top for this edition of the Spring Preview Series here on Thunder and Lightning. Ben McKee joins me from Go Vols 24/7. And Ben, I would be remiss, you know, before we get into Tennessee, but you've watched that Tennessee offense over the past few seasons with Josh Heupel. Now that's coming to Starkville. It's coming to Mississippi State. What do you expect from this kind of offense? Tell us about the intricacies of what Heupel and by definition Jeff Lebby like to do.
Yeah, they like to spread the defense out first and foremost, and not quite sure if Lebby uses the same exact splits, but I know at least within this offensive tree, Josh Heupel likes to split the receivers out about as far as you can split them out, and it just boils down to a numbers game and trying to count the numbers in the box and have them in your favor one way or the other. If the quarterback sees a light box, then they're going to run the football. If the box is loaded, then they're going to throw the football and use those wide splits to create more space for the receivers to get open and generate yak and move the football down the field. And then obviously the tempo is kind of the thing that everybody sees first and mentions first. So maybe I should have done that, but I feel like that's a given at this point. Not sure if Levy will roll with the same tempo, but Josh Heupel loves going with the tempo. And you didn't see it as much last season under Joe Milton. And I think that was a variety of reasons. I don't think that they had the same trust in Joe Milton that they had in Hendon Hooker or will have in Nico Iamaliava. I think that the pass catchers also took a step back last year. The offense just wasn't as dynamic. So I think they wanted to maybe slow things down more than they would like to make sure that they had their ducks in a row, quite frankly, and everything was aligned correctly pre-snap. But in a typical season, you will see Josh Heupel want to get up and snap the ball as quick as possible to try to catch the defense off guard and also hopefully – allow the numbers to work themselves out in their favor, as I had mentioned earlier.
I talked to, I've been doing these previews and going around the conference, and I talked to Matt Cohen a few weeks ago from AL.com. He covers Auburn. And one of the questions I asked was about the reaction down there to Nick Saban leaving. But Auburn isn't the only school that would view Alabama as maybe its most bitter rival. Tennessee would definitely be in that. So I ask you what the reaction is up in Tennessee to the new look of the SEC now that Nick Saban is finally gone.
Oh, Tennessee fans are thrilled. Absolutely thrilled.
Everybody's thrilled except for Alabama fans.
Yes, I think that is an accurate way to describe it. And I think everybody thinks that Kalen DeBoer is a really good coach. I mean, he just took Washington to the national championship game. And I think he is deserving of that Alabama job. But he's not Nick Saban. He's not the greatest of all time. And I think, although I would be surprised if DeBoer doesn't have a level of success there, it's not going to be Nick Saban-like success. And speaking of getting your ducks in a row, Alabama has some ducks that they need to get in a row. Mm-hmm. I don't think athletes are going to be taking discounts NIL-wise to play in Tuscaloosa now that Nick Saban's not there anymore. And I think, at least for Tennessee's fan base, I'm sure you've picked up on this sentiment as well across the country and in your region, but fans understand that Alabama fans are now going to get a glimpse of what it's like to actually be a fan of college football and have all of these worries and anxiety of the transfer portal and all these things that Alabama has not had to deal with for so many years now that they will now have to deal with, that everybody else has been dealing with. I think that's where at least Tennessee fans find the most joy, is that they're coming back down to reality and they're going to have to deal with the struggles that everybody else has been dealing with as well. So the fan reaction has been it's been funny to watch. They are very excited that Nick Saban is no longer there, which I think is in a roundabout way a tip of the hat to Nick Saban and what he was able to do in Tuscaloosa.
Definitely.
But there's also an opportunity now for Tennessee and Josh Heupel to maybe win their fair share of games where that didn't feel as likely before.
Is Tennessee a playoff contender or a national title contender?
A playoff contender. I think they're absolutely a playoff contender, but they will need to piece some things together if they are going to turn into a national championship contender. Now, I could see a scenario, speaking of the offense, it is so dynamic and can be so frustrating for a defense that even though from top to bottom, they may not have the talent or the depth that a Georgia has or an Ohio State or somebody along those lines, the programs who have been competing in the playoffs year in and year out, that's a different level of talent, a different level of depth. Tennessee is getting closer to that, but they're not quite there just yet. But the offense is, when it's clicking, it can have one of those days, and it can be one of those days for a defense. So I think right now they're a playoff contender, but given the offense, I think that gives them a chance to win every single game that they play. And if they were to catch somebody on the wrong day for that opponent, then it could turn into a championship contender, although I think they need to shore up things along the offensive line if they are truly going to cement themselves as a true national championship contender and not just a playoff contender.
Well, let's talk about that offensive line, because, you know, I love seeing SR next to a team, a guy's name on a depth chart when you're talking about the offensive line. When I could see senior, I feel really good about it. But then you have the left tackle, Lance Hurd, transferred from LSU. He was one of the most highly recruited players in the country a couple years ago. Can he be that next great Tennessee offensive lineman and at left tackle?
I think he definitely can. I think he has adjusted well this spring to Tennessee. He is a big guy. he is imposing, and I think he has adjusted well and had a nice spring. Tennessee will certainly need him to be able to step in and play right away because Nico Iamaliava, you kind of have a two-year window with him, because if everything goes according to plan, Nico is going to be gone after his junior season. If he's back for his senior season, that probably means something did not go well. So that is why you saw Tennessee be so aggressive in the portal with multiple offensive linemen. And then Lance Hurd becomes available towards the end of that first window. And Tennessee was as aggressive as you can be in making sure they got him to campus to make sure that they can take full advantage of this window with Nico, because Nico, I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to play well. Obviously, he needs to go prove it, but I mean, he's been tremendous since he stepped foot on campus in practice over the last, I guess, now almost 24 months since he committed. Nobody is worried about how Nico is going to perform, although he does still need to go prove that he was a true five-star quarterback and arguably the top-ranked quarterback in the country. And a lot of people believe that he would have been the number one quarterback in the country if there wasn't a quarterback in front of him with the last name Manning. So he still needs to go prove that, but nobody is doubting his ability and nobody's worried whatsoever. But in order for him to do that, the offensive line has to be more consistent than it was a season ago. And that starts with Lance Hurd over at left tackle. John Campbell, who transferred in from Miami before last season, he had a really nice year last year. Maybe didn't end the season the way that he wanted to, but he's back, and they talked him into moving over to right tackle to make way for Lance Hurd. And if those two guys can be steady rocks for Tennessee, then that completely changes the dynamic and the potential of this offense, because the interior of the line, you feel good for the most part with Cooper Mays at center and Javonte Spraggins at right guard. They do need to figure out left guard, and that is a spot that they could go to the portal during this upcoming window that's about to open up and try to add to the offensive line there. But you feel good overall about your starting five, but the depth is worrisome because they're still trying to build that up. I talked about Tennessee not quite at that championship level depth yet, and that's one of the biggest areas on the team where they're not, is along the offensive line. They kind of have four or five, maybe six guys that they trust, and that's it. They have a bunch of youngsters after that they're trying to catch up to speed as quick as they can. So I'd expect Tennessee to be aggressive in the portal along the offensive line, although they do feel good for the most part about their starting five because they simply don't want to waste this window with Nico.
I love this Tennessee receiver group. Just an outstanding collection of talent. Brew McCoy and Squirrel Wright, we all know about them. You bring in Chris Brazzle from the transfer portal. He has a fantastic year down at Tulane. And then a couple of highly recruited freshmen in Braylon Staley and Mike Matthews. Do you think this can be the best receiver group in the country when it's all done?
It has that potential. I do think they have a lot of work to do before they reach that point. I was very high on the receiver room last season following Jalin Hyatt and Cedric Tillman going off to the NFL. I thought it would be somewhat of a seamless transition, and they quite frankly made me look very silly. I thought that Tennessee would prove to have the best receiver room in the SEC last year, and they were far from it. I looked very silly for that take in hindsight. Those LSU Tigers down there had quite the receiver room, as we're about to find out with the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. So I have a little buyer's remorse, and I'm a little weary of that statement because they failed me last year, but they certainly have a ton of potential and could be one of the best receiver rooms in the country, definitely the SEC when it's all said and done. They need Brew McCoy to come back healthy. I think they really need the X factor is Dante Thornton. They need him to take off and live up to his potential, and it's mostly potential based off of his athleticism. and he couldn't ever quite get comfortable in the slot last season after transferring from Oregon. They bump him outside, and he played well there for a game or two as an outside receiver, but then hurt himself against Missouri and missed the rest of the season. So he's coming off of injury and has something to prove this year. So I look at him as an X factor. And then, of course, you mentioned the newcomers, Chris Brazel from Tulane. He's had a nice spring. And Mike Matthews and Braylon Staley have as well. And Mike Matthews is the former five-star who is an early enrollee. But it's Braylon Staley, the four-star from Columbia, South Carolina. Tennessee stole him from Shane Beamer's backyard. He's probably been the one on offense, the newcomer, the freshman, that has turned the most heads. And that's looking like another Jalen Hyatt situation where South Carolina is really going to regret him leaving their backyard. So they have a ton of potential there. Square White, you mentioned. But those Square Whites and Brew McCoys, the returning players, they need to really take a step forward this offseason because they failed to meet expectations last season.
I think Tennessee's loss to Florida last year was maybe one of the most surprising results in the SEC. That game is on October the 12th this year. It's a little later in the season than it normally is. It's right before the game with Alabama. Is that the game that Tennessee fans have really got circled as the revenge game and a game that's going to – I don't know if it's a swing game for Tennessee because I think Tennessee will be a heavy favorite in that one. But is that still the most important game outside of the Alabama game for Tennessee this year?
Yeah, I'd probably say so. Outside of the Alabama game, I was going to go Alabama just based off of the earlier question.
History, yeah.
And, right. Well, the history and Tennessee fans, Alabama is the one school that across all the major sports that they consistently just cannot stand. I mean, Tennessee and Alabama just do not like one another. Kentucky basketball in there, obviously, but I think Tennessee fans had more of an issue with Alabama playing in the Final Four than if it would have been Kentucky, just because they cannot stand Alabama. And there's this new sense of opportunity that we talked about earlier, and they're coming to Knoxville that they really want to take advantage of. But like you mentioned, that Florida game did not sit well with Tennessee's program or Tennessee's fans last season because Florida football is not what Florida football should be right now. And it feels like they're on the ropes down there, quite frankly. And Tennessee has not won in the swamp in a very, very long time. And not that Tennessee was a world beater last year, but I think we can all agree that Tennessee was a better team than Florida. And fans absolutely viewed that as a wasted opportunity, that you had a better football team than Florida and you squandered a golden opportunity to win in a place that you don't win very often. So I do think that will be on the forefront of the team's mind this season and one that they have circled because quite frankly, Tennessee is better than Florida right now. And if you want to compete for a championship, that is a game that you have to have and take advantage. When the scheduling is what it is in the SEC, you have to win the ones that you should. And quite frankly, right now, that's a game that Tennessee should win, especially with it being at home. And that'll add to what would be a really enjoyable win because of what took place last year, as you mentioned.
Should be a fascinating year up there in Knoxville with this team and the new-look SEC. So I'm looking forward to seeing the Vols in action. Ben McKee, go Vols 24/7, man. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Robbie, obviously there's similar offenses from what State's going to want to run to what Tennessee does run. Tennessee's hopes, is there any team in the conference whose hopes are pinned more on their quarterback than Tennessee? I think you saw the step that they took back last year because Milton wasn't able to give them what Hendon Hooker was. If Nico Emeavaleva, I think I got that right.
Just call him Nico.
Yeah. If he's not what Hendon Hooker was, this team will not be a college football playoff team. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
They don't have the strength defensively to carry them up. They aren't good enough in the running game to boost them up to that point. If they're going to be a 10-win team, they have to get elite quarterback play.
Yeah, it's important, especially for that offense. It's the offense that Mississippi State's going to run for the most part. And Mississippi State could not – I don't think Mississippi State could survive without really good quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, that's important for pretty much every offense. I mean, it seems kind of like easy to predict. But for some of these offenses, quarterback play is even more important than it is at other places. And I think Tennessee is one of those spots. And this is a guy that you know, that a lot of people think is going to be the best quarterback they've had in a long time. So we'll see. I mean, he hasn't really proven anything yet. It's kind of a, you know, wait and see. But, you know, Josh Heupel so far has done us. I thought that Milton was definitely a step back from Hooker, but he mm-hmm. was fine. You know, it was
kills me, man. So physically talented,
incredible.
But I mean, he couldn't put it together.
I mean, the talent is like Jamarcus Russell mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just he was just very average. I didn't think he was awful or bad. I just thought he was just okay, and that's not good enough for them.
What's funny about Tennessee a year ago is when they lost, their offense was just a no-show. You know, the Kentucky or Alabama, they had the lead at the half, and then they got what? Then Alabama got like a 30-0 run or something like that.
Yeah, just completely fell apart.
They only got 16 points at Florida, which is such a crazy loss.
It's like the Alabama game, like they were celebrating at halftime.
Yeah.
Like I remember Heupel was like all, you know, hyped up and all, and yeah. You can't do that against
They only
Alabama.
Had 7 points against Missouri, and they only had 10 against Georgia. I mean, every other game, their offense was fantastic. The only game that they won that you could say was like a defensive struggle was against A&M. They won 20-13. Everything else, they had 30 points or more.
I mean, so, look what they did with Hooker. I mean, it was...
Oh, with Hooker, it was...
Every week, it was...
Well, I mean, the drop-off was big last year. They scored 599 points in 2022. Their lowest point... They only scored 13 against Georgia... Against everybody else.
An elite defense.
Right. Everybody else, they scored at least 31. Then you have last year, they only scored 413 points. And like as I mentioned, 16 against Florida, 20 against A&M, Alabama, 7 against Missouri, Georgia only 10. So they had 5 games where they were 20 points or less. And that's a huge drop-off from you know the last 2 years under Hendon Hooker. So they need... Nico to be the elite quarterback that they think he can be for them to do well. All right, next week, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, that'll wrap us up for the spring. Also, next week is Super Bulldog weekend, so we'll have plenty of spring football to talk about. We'll have the wrap-up of the baseball series with the Rebels and look ahead to that series with Auburn and states as state continues to try to push for postseason play here. Plus, I think we should expect, we're hopeful to expect, some transfer news from the basketball teams, both men and women, possibly on our, if not, we hope on our Sunday show, definitely by the middle of the week, I would expect some movement there. So, should be a great week next week on Thunder and Lightning. Hope to have you guys along with us for that. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.